Welcome to Anchor Point, where we believe that the next 30 minutes could change your life forever. So join us to consider the greatest message ever heard, the good news of the gospel, as well as sound scriptural teaching for believers, all based on the Word of God, the anchor for our souls. Cool, refreshing water. It's something we want to make sure that we have on hand and close by. But as refreshing and thirst-quenching as that drink is, there will come a time when we'll need another one, another drink, because it can only satisfy for the moment. Now the Lord Jesus once asked for a drink of water from a woman at a well in a town called Sychar. And yes, he was thirsty, and he was weary from his journey. But he also wanted to teach this woman about living water, something that will satisfy forever, eternally. And today, through this well-known Bible story, evangelist Peter Ramsey explains to us, gives us some understanding of this living water. Did the woman get a drink of that kind of water? Well, she sure did, and let's find out how.
Now we're going to read in John's Gospel, the Gospel of John, chapter 4. It's nice to hear the rustling of the leaves of the Bibles, because there's a lot of places in the congregation that don't bring their Bibles. And so they're completely dependent on what the person behind the pulpit's telling them. And people behind pulpits have been known to tell things that aren't true. And that's why we encourage you to bring your Bibles. Because if you hear anything tonight that doesn't measure up with the Word of God, then please tell us at the door. We try to present the Word of God faithfully and truthfully, but you cannot accept men's word for it. Take your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we'll find you a Bible. But the Bible is the Word of God. John's Gospel, chapter 4, and we're not going to read the entire story, but it starts at verse 4, and he must, that is Jesus, go through Samaria. He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And the story goes on. I want you to look at verse 13. Verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water, he was pointing to the well that he was sitting on, whosoever drinketh of this earthly water, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now she didn't fully understand what the Lord Jesus had to say, and maybe you don't understand what the Lord Jesus was saying to this woman. This woman was living quite a wild life. She was going through the men very quickly. Number one gone, number two gone, number three gone. And when she went into the town to tell them about Jesus at the well, who did she bring out? The women? No. Her friends were the men. She brought the men of the city out. That's the lifestyle that she was living. She came to that well, and she met a man at that well. It'd be wonderful if you met that man. Maybe you've come to find something to satisfy your thirst. And she was coming to get a physical drink of water. She had this physical need for thirst, but she had a thirst that went much deeper. In addition to the thirst for water, there was something inside her that was craving to be satisfied. Something that men could not satisfy within her. What could this be? And she met a man at the well who told her what she was looking for, and he gave to her a drink of this living water. Now I want you to notice two expressions, three words in each of the two expressions. The first one is in verse 13. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Imagine you went to the print shop and you told the printer there, look it, I want to get a big banner and I just want three words on it. Yes, we do those banners here. I want it large letters, just three words. Here are the three words. Shall thirst again. Gives you a price. Now you say, that's not all. I want another banner. And I want three words on that banner. And what will they be, sir? And you say, shall, well, look at it. But whosoever, verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Three words. Shall never thirst. And there you get those nice big banners. Shall thirst again. And then you get the other one. Shall never thirst. Do you have any idea where you would put the shall thirst again banner? If you were going, you're going to hang it up over a door, where would you put it? Oh, you say, I could think of a number of doors down there where they do the gambling. Seems to me there's thirsty souls in here. And all you have known up until now is just living in your sins. You don't know anything about the joys that God's salvation can bring you. You don't know anything about the happiness and the contentment that Christ gives a believer. You might think your life is okay because you've never experienced anything more than what you've experienced up until now. And really, are you satisfied? If you were to go over to the Philippines, 30 minutes outside of Manila, there's 70,000 Filipinos, and they get up every morning of their lifetime, and they go to what they call the Promised Land. It's 30 minutes outside of Manila, and it's 22 hectares of wretched land and 50-meter-high mountains. You know what's in there? Garbage. It is the dump. 50 meters high, slippery, slimy, sloshy, stinking garbage, rat-infested, dime-sized flies by the millions buzzing around, an obnoxious stench. And yet there are 20, 30, 40, 70,000. And every day they get up and they go to that dump and they climb the garbage piles, and they're rooting through the garbage. They don't even smell the stench anymore. If you were to go there as a visitor, you would ask for a gas mask. But they are so accustomed to the stink and the stench, they do that, and they find little bits of things that they can take and sell. And they live that way. Patricio has done that for all his life, lived in that garbage heap. Do you know what he said? I wrote it down. He said, there may be better ways to live, but for me, this is an okay life. There may be better ways to live, but for me, it's an okay life. And maybe you say, well, what else is there? There may be better ways, but I just don't know about it. Oh, friend, there is a far better way. There's a far better way to live than to live in the dump of sin. Jesus said they shall thirst again. Everything you go in for in this life, you will thirst again. Nothing will satisfy. I want you to think of the monotony of souls. We used to have hamsters at our house, and they had a wheel. Sometimes it squeaked in the nighttime. But do you ever look at those hamsters? They get on the wheel, and man, they're going up and down, and they're going back on the wheel, and they go round and round and round and round again. That reminds me of sinners in the meeting tonight. You're on Satan's hamster wheel, going round and round and round. And where are you getting? You ever get off every once in a while, and you look around, and then you get back on. Business trips, I used to go to Toronto quite a bit, and I used to spend quite a bit of time just at Swiss Chalet on Yonge Street, just sitting by the window, watching people walk up and down Yonge Street. Pretty busy street, all kinds of sights, and I used to look at their faces. You would see the people who have lived a sinful life all their lives, old now, bent over, wrinkled faces, sad, forlorn, vacant eyes. You would see the young people just starting on the slippery slopes of sin, looking at all the bright lights and looking here, shall we go to that one over there? Shall we go in that door there? Every place on Yonge Street, there's a banner over it. You might not be able to see it, but it says, shall thirst again. You can go in this door, you can go in that door, but they all say, shall thirst again. They won't satisfy. You see the businessman on Yonge Street, and he's got his attaché case as if he got sick today, the whole world would stop revolving. But you know, business doesn't satisfy either. Shall thirst again. This world has a lot of attractions. See the insert in the paper, movies tonight. Tonight. Entertainment tonight. Tonight. This weekend. But just one-shot deals. One-shot deals. Superficial satisfaction. Momentary thrills. People on the weekend, they get blasted, they get busted, they're broke. But is that all there is? Yes, that's all the world has to offer. And that's why the Lord Jesus said, shall thirst again. The misery of sins. You know what Jeremiah says? Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 25, your sins are withholding good things from you. Your sins are doing that. God has good things in store for you, but your sins are withholding good things from you. If you look around and say, why is my life so miserable? Exactly what Jeremiah says. Your sins are withholding good things from you. The bitterness of a life of sin. Jimi Hendrix. I don't know whether everybody knows Jimi Hendrix. He's not around anymore. But he's still quite an icon. He's still a legend, Jimi Hendrix. Rock guitarist. Everybody wants to be able to imitate Jimi Hendrix because I guess there's never been anybody quite like him. Do you know one of the last concerts Jimi Hendrix ever performed? To a packed stadium. Jimi Hendrix, at the end of the concert, you know what he did? He did his customary smash his guitar thing, and the whole stadium applauded, and they clapped, and they cheered. And then he fell on his knees, and he held the mic, and everyone was still cheering, and they thought it was a part of the act, and then he stayed on his knees until there was an eerie silence across the stadium. And then when you could have heard a pin drop, he spoke into the mic. He said, if there's anyone in the stadium tonight who has found inner peace, please meet me backstage. And no one met Jimi Hendrix backstage. Later that week, Jimi Hendrix died from a drug overdose. Did the world satisfy him? All his fame. If anybody has found inner peace, meet me backstage. The world cannot satisfy a young person tonight. Jesus said, shall thirst again. No matter what you try, it will not satisfy. And the Lord Jesus said, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him. He shall never thirst. Shall never thirst. Anybody thirsting for something that permanently satisfies? Permanently satisfies? You can't lose it. Or are you going to settle for all these little gimmicks? Satan is getting a great laugh. See, watches you suck the last drop of the pleasures that you're enjoying. Do you ever see somebody trying to get the last little bit of chocolate milk out of the cardboard container and they move the straw around to the corner and they're trying to suck up the last drop? You're trying to suck up the last drop. Satan made it look so promising, so rosy, but it's empty. Boy in my Sunday school class, he would still come to Sunday school when he was a DJ at a nightclub. One night after the gospel meeting, he said, Peter, he said, what I have discovered. I said, what have you discovered? He said, all these bubbles that look so promising. He said, every time I reach after them, as soon as I think I've got them in my hand, it bursts. It's gone. That's Satan's tricks. That's Satan's tricks. He's a con artist. You know what? He's got a devilish sneer as he sees you running on the treadmill of your life. He has no intentions of you ever, ever getting saved. He's going to keep you thirsting and thirsting, and if this doesn't satisfy, he wants you to try something else. Satan, the mastermind behind your life, oh, he's got lots of experience. And as long as he can keep you thinking, well, maybe this will satisfy. I will try this. I'll go for that. And he sees you going for this and for that. I don't know whether you've seen those old puppet shows where they have these little characters and then they pull the strings behind the stage and someone's pulling the string and the hand goes up and then they pull it, let another string down and the hand goes down and they pull another string and the leg goes up. You know what? This is what Satan is doing to some of you. Will Satan have the last laugh in your life? Shall thirst again? I have a picture at home of a young fellow with long blonde hair. Some of you will have listened to his music, maybe. Nirvana, Kurt Cobain. And Kurt Cobain, in this picture, is standing beside a big banner. Behind him, the banner says, draped the full length of an 18-wheeler truck. On that banner says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And Kurt Cobain, the founder of Nirvana, as a young man, he's standing there. He's not mocking it. He's just standing in this picture, just like empty looking, in front of this gospel verse. Kurt Cobain would go in to a bar, and he would take out a napkin, and he would write down how much he hated life, how much he hated the fans, and how much life sucked. Foul profanities, everything. April the 7th, 1994. Kurt Cobain pumped the heroin into him and then took a revolver. Yeah, he killed himself. Did Satan laugh? Yeah. Boy, Satan will laugh when you go to hell. Shall thirst again. But you know something? You don't need to thirst and thirst and thirst and thirst and thirst and thirst. Jesus said, who drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Oh, just think of how desirable it would be to never have that longing desire. I'm satisfied. I don't have to go for this and I don't have to fall for that. Christ satisfies. And that's what the Lord Jesus was telling this sinful woman. Your men can't satisfy you. Your lifestyle can't satisfy you. But if you drink what I am offering you today, you shall never thirst, an ever-flowing, never-failing, soul-satisfying, thirst-quenching drink from the living fountain, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you had a drink of the water that he has to offer? Christ satisfies completely. Who is eligible? Jesus said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Who's eligible? whosoever. Does that include you? Wouldn't it be great if someone just, even if you wanted to yell out, yes, me, whosoever means me. If you could understand that whosoever meant you tonight, that drink would be yours and you would never ever thirst again. What's it capable of doing if you drink of this living water that Jesus has? It'll change your life. It'll save your soul. It'll give you peace within. It'll give you home in heaven. But it's through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. It's available to you tonight. Christ is available to you. He died for sins. He paid the price in full. And he's saying, whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. John 6, he says, he that believeth on me, there it is again, he shall never thirst. You can go way back to the Old Testament. You know what it says in Isaiah chapter 55? Ho! Everyone that come to a stop, everyone that is thirsting, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, yea, come without money. Thirsting, come to a stop. Drink. He's offering it to you. Anyone want that drink of living water tonight? It's available. Christ is available to you. Everything else, you shall thirst again. But if you drink of that living water that Christ is offering, you shall never thirst.
Yes, take a drink of that living water. One drink. One drink is enough to satisfy not only for time, but for all of eternity. And so like the woman of Samaria, won't you put down your empty water pot and drink the water that Christ offers, and you'll never thirst again. If this or any of our Bible messages here at Anchor Point has made you aware of God's interest in you, or if you'd like some literature or a visit that would help you to understand these important truths, why don't you drop us a line at email@anchorpointradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. We're glad that you were able to join us at Anchor Point today. Anchor Point is sponsored by Christians who are meeting in various gospel halls. Each of these Christian assemblies holds gospel services as well as regular prayer and Bible studies throughout the week. No collection is ever taken, and a very warm welcome awaits you. And if you've been challenged by today's message, would like to know more about the truth of the gospel, or of gathering under the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, following New Testament principles, please feel free to check out our website at anchorpointradio.com. There you will find more information, as well as the location, programs, and meeting schedules for the gospel hall nearest you. My name is John Sharp, and thank you once again for listening. And we invite you to join us again next week at the same time for Anchor Point, where we believe that in times like these, you need a Savior. And in times like these, you need an anchor.